you said that.
Go ahead.
I'd like to start the meeting at 6:07 p.m. for the Board of Apportionment and Taxation. Can we have a call to order, please?
Got it.
Roll call.
Pledge of Allegiance first.
Oh, sorry.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. To the Republic
for which it stands,
one nation,
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice
for all.
Now I'll do the roll call. Mr. Alberta?
Present.
You. Mr. Carlone?
Present.
Mr. Roche?
Present.
Mr. Gray?
Present.
Ms. Mancini Wright?
Present.
Ms. Sorazetti? Ms. Patel? Tosa, no, she's excused. And Mr. Santos?
I'm present.
Okay, you have six people present.
Okay, does anybody from the public would like to speak? Anybody in the public would like to speak? Does anybody in the public would like to speak? Okay, hearing none, we'll move to the next portion of the agenda. The presentation, we're going to start with, we have a town clerk, please.
Mr. Chair, in that myself and the registrar, if there's no objection from you or the board, in that registrar and myself will be here till the end of the meeting anyway, I would yield my time to either the library or the youth services so they can complete their day.
Sounds good. I see that Mr. John Sacu is here. We'll go with youth services.
Okay, thank you for your time. I think Mr. Garfalo is going to be able to bring my budget up. I don't know if you're able to see it. You able to bring that up, Mark?
Yes, just one second.
Okay, all right.
No, sorry.
I thought I lost it.
No, I'm here. Sorry about that. Just give me one sec. Sorry. I had it on one sheet and it was on a different one.
That's mine, Mark. That's the library.
You're
doing good, man. You'll find it.
Hold on one second here. Sorry. There we go.
There you go. Okay.
Hey.
All right. There you go. Okay. Fundamentally, my budget doesn't change. The only variables in the budget are our mental health line item and youth programs line item. These are largely grant funded. I'll just start. My youth officer's wage, my full-time wage, has not increased. It's still $29,000 as it's been for the years. And of that, the state, that is DCF, who we fall under, pays for nearly half of that. So the city is providing the other $15,000 for my salary wages. So that has not changed. And the only other thing that the city provides is $1,000 those supplies go toward my programming, whether whether it's a bus trip or whether it's a career day to pay for tables or food or those kinds of supplies for my programming. The reason I've not carried funding over to the total column, your subtotal column, is that these line items have carryover amounts every year, and it changes. And I typically don't know that until usually the end of May. In addition to that, what other grant dollars DCF provides are not known until May, which for programs can range between $8,000 and $15,000. And once those are known, and then I provide that to finance for the final number. I'd like to say that this mental health line item is $11,044. This, I'm really anticipating the great majority of that to be spent this fiscal year, if not all of it. The Youth Bureau is entering into an agreement with BH Care and the school district to provide some seed money to provide a in-school clinician to work with our social workers to lend some support for the mental health services directly into the school. As you know, our families, much of them are single family. There's a lot of problem with transportation and keeping kids into the therapy that they so badly need. And as you might know and read, suicide is a number two cause of death for kids 15 to 28 years old. So it's a serious problem. And these dollars will go towards seed money. And we're working with an agreement with the BH Care to provide that that clinician. And moving forward in the succession of that program, much of the services will be billable to insurance companies. So we're excited about it. It's taken two years to get this approved by the Board of Education, and we're pretty much excited about it. The other Youth Bureau dollars, this is less now because I've spent some money. Again, whatever's left at the end of May will be carry forward dollars in addition to the new money, which can be as little as $8,000, as much as $15,000. So my budget really has not changed. I would like to say that this is starting the 15th year that we will approach. And by the way, Derby and Ansonia have the smallest youth bureaus in the state. Bob Lisi and myself are the only employees of our youth bureaus. And we'll be approaching $500,000 of grant dollars that we brought to the district, which goes to all of our kids and families and provide really important services. So I'll entertain any questions that you might have.
I have one there. Can you explain a little bit, John, where it says on your mental health that there will be no new grant dollars for
right. This fiscal year, I will not be taking in any new grant dollars for the mental health line item. I don't have any grant programs other than the one that we're working on right now. So probably not until next year that we will see opportunities for new grant dollars on the mental health side. So probably next year we'll start filling in a little bit more as needed.
And that $38,391.55, that's a balance that you have for the youth programs?
Yeah, it's a little youth programs. Again, probably half of that is carried forward from the 2.5 years of the COVID, where we weren't able to spend some of that money. So that will be carried forward, which I'll know the end of May. And in addition to that, I'll know the new money that DCF is going to provide us for youth programs. And I'll know that exact number in May.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions I can entertain?
John, do you feel like you might come up short if they don't give you money?
No, I definitely won't come up short. They're going to give money because the youth bureaus are a statutory organization. So as long as we fulfill our obligations and mandates, they'll have to fund us. The question is how much the legislature is going to provide and approve for programming. And I apply for that. Like I'll be applying for that that number, you know, later on in the fiscal year, and we'll know that. But I definitely won't come short. I'm just happy we're getting some of these programs through. And by the way, the Youth Bureau not only brings programs like that, but we also provide services in when it comes to the registration process of new students. Our transient population in Derby and Ansoni is about the same, which drives our budgets crazy. It just spends a lot of our resources, time, energy, and money. Just to give you an idea, from the time that school starts in September till now, we've taken on 300 new students, 300 new registration, and the Ansoni is about the same. And we only have about 1,400 students in the district. So you know, we have like a 35% turnover rate of our families that are just unstable. So, and when we do that, I do not only the registration approvals, but I also am the registration and housing approval individual for the school district. So I go out homes when we find families that don't live here, maybe are living in another town, particularly the high cost ones. We have to make sure we note that because, you know, we can't be paying for education. The kids are not living here. And typically that's quite a lot of money at the end of the year. However, we keep bringing more and more unstable situations to bear.
Okay, thank you.
Does anybody else has any follow-up questions? Well, hearing none, I want to say thank you, Mr. Sakyu, for your presentation. Any questions you have for us?
Yeah, I thank you. I thank you, and I'm always available. I mean, the other thing is I have a lot of people come to me all the time about, you know, issues that are going on in the community. It could be mental health issues, substance abuse issues, which we deal with. You're aware of the opioid epidemic, suicide awareness, suicide prevention. These are all programs these are all issues in our community and other communities. So if you feel that there's a need out there, you know, part of what I do is a needs assessment for our community, and I do a comprehensive one. And if you have any suggestions, anyone has any suggestions for me, I'm open for your thoughts.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sakyu.
Thank you all. Thank you, Mr. Garfalo, for all your assistance.
My pleasure.
All right, if we could have, I believe it's Mr. Brill from the library.
It is indeed. Hello, everyone, and thank you for this opportunity. This is the budget that I prepared. It is represents actually an overall 1% reduction in what was requested for fiscal year 22-23 for the library. But the library itself is unionized, and so I was complying with the anticipated contractual obligations for wages for both the library employee bargaining agreement and the city hall bargaining agreement, because we have two custodians, excuse me, who are part-time, who are on the city hall employee bargaining agreement. But I believe both of those contracts are up on July 1st of this year. And so there is no, nothing in place after that. And so this budget that I presented was based on previous contracts where there was a 2.25% increase for the top line items that you see there. So I understand that if, you know, that could be an issue, I totally get that. The mayor's proposal, I think the one line item that I'd like to focus on is 110.0114, which is the part-time assistants. We have four part-time assistants who are Class A positions, which is the Connecticut minimum wage. And those positions by state law on June 1st have to go to $15 an hour. The mayor's proposal was only $154,000, keeping it back at what it had been in the previous year. That $154,000 would not take into consideration the extra $15 an hour. It would only be paying people at $14 an hour for the year. So that is why there's kind of a difference there. We can go down the I hear a dog. The dogs are welcome at the library. And I also, I know this may be out of order, but I just want to say I appreciate John's work. I know he does amazing work in what he does over there as a one-man band. Myself over here, I appreciate him as a one-man band. There are different line items here that I reduced. For example, historically, the extra coverage hours, we had asked for usually $12,000. We've never spent more than like $7,000. And so I reduced that to $6,000 so that in case the contract does go through at the percentage raise, that we would be able to pay the employees and do that. So that was something I cut down. Staff development, different things like that. We have a staff who really enjoy things, but we often are finding free webinars are abundant as opposed to having to send people miles and miles away to conferences. And so that has been actually really, really beneficial for my staff. So I kind of reduced that budget as well. Mark, if you want to scroll down a little bit. I just want to say, other than the salaries, though, the mayor's proposal was exactly the same as I proposed. And so the top line items are the really only ones that we might have any kind of major discussion on. I also, we reduced our materials. We also, just so you know, we get part of our money for materials for adult and children through a grant that we've had for years, since I think almost since the library existed 120 years ago, through the Valley Foundation. And so they supplant that so that we are able not to have to ask the city for the taxpayers for to put all that burden of having the books in the library. So that's a good thing. And then the rest of the line items, you can look there. Those are pretty standard. We went through everything line by line. We have an elevator here in the library. So sometimes that bill, that $8,000, that can add up. Sometimes it's a $3,000 bill to fix the elevator and those kind of things. And our Xerox machines and all that, all this adds up to about $8,000. Our utilities, as you know, things are getting higher. So things like Regional Water Authority, all that kind of stuff. And so that's the 14 there. The Send Fiber connection is so that we can have filters on internet, SLEPA filters on our computers, which is the Children's Internet Protection Act, so that our children's computers are protected. But it's also the E-rate for Connecticut. It's a really good rate. If we did not comply with all this, instead of $4,350, we would be paying something like $10,000 for the Send connection. So it's a good thing that we apply for that every year. Miscellaneous 2000, that's usually things like the newsletter, which we have, and our website. Also, as you know, if you've driven past the library at Christmas time, we have two giant wreaths that hang out the front of it, and that they do not come cheap. I cut a little bit of the preservation. There used to be 2,200. It's 1,000 because, again, that is also supplanted by a grant. And having talked with our local historian librarian, I felt that this was fair. Supplies used to be around 9,000. And I kind of cut that down by really doing a good cost analysis of what we actually spend. And so $7,800 was a much better number for that. The 28,000 is probably our biggest expense other than salary because we are in a 120-year-old building. And so things happen. We have to, you know, a 25-year-old HVAC system and all that kind of good stuff. So that's where that is. And then the final thing is we're part of Biblimation, which is the one of the largest Connecticut library consortiums in the state. This actual figure used to sometimes be 51,000. But talking with Biblimation and what we actually need, it really 46,000 is a more reasonable number. And so I wanted to give a fair and accurate budget in these times. There's no need to make a number of 51,000 when it really is 46,000. And so that every little penny counts, and I fully understand that. Mark, if you want to pop back up to the top of it, that would be great. So. I'm like John, I'm happy to answer any questions and
I have one question for you, Scott,
with sure.
regard to the 360-0360. As you mentioned,
sure. Can we go? Yeah, can you slow down? I have to find it for you. 360-360. Where are you
right,
there?
Oh. Right above your last entry with Derby Public Library Bibliomation.
Oh, you mean 350
or? Let's say it's grants on my worksheet
that I have. Grants. Yes. So what we did is I removed the grant item out of this budget. The grants are really supposed to go directly to a line item. For example, we have the CEN grant, and that would go, when it comes in, it go directly to the line item. It's something that Mr. Mayhew and I are working on with the finance department, so we have a better understanding of how that money is. Oftentimes that line item was considered a pass-through line item, and it wasn't used as such. The money, for example, when we get the money from the Valley Foundation, it is directly applied up on the top there to materials, to the 160-160 or the 160-161 line item. And that's where the money directly went to. So it never really was used in that 360 category. And that's why it just made more sense to eliminate it from the budget to avoid confusion. Because it looked like we were asking for $38,000, and we weren't. That's not what was happening at all.
Right, that's what got me a little confused last year.
Correct. I've only been here for a year. When I first worked here, and they showed me the budget, and I said, "Wait, it looked like that was taxpayer money, and it isn't." In other words, like I'm asking for $28,000 for repairs. That I'm asking. That looked like I'm asking $38,000 from the taxpayers. But we're not. That money comes directly from grants. Just like John was saying, he kind of left those blank because it really should not be. And Mr. Mayhew kind of agrees with this. We have more conversations to deal with this. But we do want to make this so it's works much better and is much better presented for this committee, you know, to be able to see why we're not really asking for that $38,000. But I appreciate the question because that was my very first question about the budget a year ago.
Okay, no, thank you. Anybody got any questions for Mr. Brill?
Looks reasonable to me.
Thank you very much. I want you to know that we did, you know, the mayor had asked us to really look at every little thing, and I did that. I wanted to make sure that, we understand that it's a tough time out there, you know. So when we ask for raises for our staff, there's a reason. John gave you a nice quote. I'll give you something to show how our, if you want to scroll up, Mark, to the children's librarians line item. The reason, you know, yes, it's a contractual thing, and of course that contract isn't signed yet, but for her to move to 57,000 is, I think she's at 56,000 now, but at the beginning of the school year, we Irving School, as you know, is right across the street from the library, as is St. Mary's and St. Michael's. And but the Irving School for several years, we just hadn't really communicated well with. And so there were some new teachers there and the principal. And so our children's librarian, Sue Sherman, kind of re-engaged with them. And so in September, only 11% of those school children had library cards. Today, 96% of them do. And that is through the work of our children's librarian and the teachers over there. We have over 200 kids from Irving School coming to our library every week to check out books and to have a kind of a story time. And it's really extraordinary. So these are important things. You know, we're coming out of the pandemic, and our circulation numbers are up again, which is really exciting. We did the state report, and we are viable with, there are other libraries that are bigger than us, and we're doing a little bit better circ than they are. And I'm, you know, certainly other libraries are doing better than us. I'm not saying we're wonderful, but for a little library that could, in a town that has two libraries, we are really trying to hit our stride and be back. So that is the reason why this budget is the numbers that it is. And I appreciate your time.
I got one more follow-up question for you.
Oh, sure.
You had mentioned how the custodial personnel are part of the City Hall unionization.
Yes.
That can potentially negotiate to a $15 an hour. However, the budget, as you said, now is calling for $14 an hour.
No, because I just want to be very clear. The custodians are not minimum wage. The custodians make over $23 an hour.
No, what I'm saying, you mentioned with regard to the other staff.
Oh, yes.
With the part-time assistant, children's librarian, and even your salary, that was supposed to have been for $15 an hour, but with this budget, you stated that it can be at least $14 an hour. What type of remediation would you utilize if the union says, no, they have to be paid at $15 an hour?
Well, I may be misunderstanding your question. My budget has them at $15 an hour. And that is what the union contract says, that there are four people who work at the library who are Class A positions that are $15 an hour. And so that's what my budget includes. And then there are Class B and Class C part-time people who make more than that. And so the math is there. There's Mark, I don't know if you can show that other sheet that I did that's numbered... Yeah, keep going. I don't know if it's, you have the other sheet that says
what is it?
It literally is like 5500 110, I think is the name of the thing. I think is the name of the actual document.
110. It was a separate.
It's like an Excel spreadsheet, it looks like, right?
It was like an Excel spreadsheet. That's right. Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Give
me a minute.
Yeah, no, I understand, Mark, yep. Because this is kind of important, because I hope this will answer the question. I just want to be clear that I'm not saying they should have $14 an hour. they by state law, they have to have $15 an hour.
Okay. Because I was questioning just what you had mentioned regarding the four, because that... 154 to 25 that the mayor proposed, that's for the four employees that are soon to be unionized.
Correct, Mr. Santos. I'll be even clearer. It included those four employees. It's, in other words, it's not just for those four employees, but it would include those. But the 154, which is basically just what the number was for the fiscal year 22-23, the past fiscal year, that 154 only took into consideration that they were paid $14 an hour at the time. Here it is. Yes, this is one thing. Mark, we're still not at the right document. Sorry about that. You're so close. It's the other thing I sent to you.
Wait, it was an email you sent? Sorry.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, this is the problem.
That's okay. I'm sorry.
No, it's, not, to, it's not your.
But to answer your question, Mr. Santos, yes. So the mayor's proposal is only really taking into consideration them being at $14 an hour, where my proposal makes sure that it's $15 an hour for those four employees.
And since you're receiving less.
Well, yes, if we receive $154,000 for that line item, we would be about $4,000 short in paying the people who are part-time people here. you would run out of money in around, I'm guessing, there it is, that's it. So if you see, this is the mayor's proposal on the top of the $154,000. You see the top four people, they're the $14 an hour. And then for a month, because it changes not in July, but it changes in June, they're paid $15 an hour just for a month. And so that's what the $154,000 was. In other words, that's what I proposed last year for the fiscal year 22-23. Now, if you slide up, Mark, if you see this year, if there were no increase in the other people's salaries, but you only abided by the state mandate of that those four people get $15 an hour, then the line item would be $158,041, if you see that.
Yeah.
And then my line item, which is what I requested, was if the other people, when you will slide down one more time, Mark, just for comparison, this is what I requested. This would be if they follow the contract, which would have a 2.25% increase for the other 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 employees, and then at what their rate is. So that's why there's a discrepancy there.
Okay, and that was my question. Since there's a discrepancy, and then once the per hour wage kicks in, how are you going to plan to remediate? And you said you're going to be like about $4,000 short.
I don't know. I haven't. I that's why I'm not. I didn't request that. I requested to make sure that the part-timers were fully funded. So.
Okay. No. Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, I didn't request. That's the mayor's request, not mine.
Yes. Yes, that's yeah. What I
think. Yep. Okay. But at the very least, in other words, if no one else got a raise, but the $15 happened, Mark, if you scroll up just a little bit, the $158 would be necessary.
Okay. I got it. Thank you for clarifying.
Okay. No, I appreciate the question, Mr. Santos, because it's a really important question.
Just, Mr. Chair, may I?
Yes.
I mean, what I think where there may be some, you have a statutory issue. Mr. Brawl, I just want to make sure so my notes are correct. It will impact June, so the last year of this fiscal year, correct?
Well, the good news is I did the math, Mark. So that 154-2225 should fully fund. Do you see that's why they say 14 to 15? Do you see that why it says that? That took into consideration the last month of this fiscal year, those employees would jump to $15 an hour.
Right, but that's in the current budget?
That's in the current budget. So 154-225 is what I proposed and what the current budget is through June of this year. And okay. So by
including the 1 month differential.
Including the 1 month differential. That's exactly right, Mark. Great way to put it.
So
the mayor just kind of went, because I guess they were trying to freeze the salaries. Maybe they didn't understand that or know that. So when they said that this year, instead of my, honoring what I had done, it was 154-225, which doesn't take into consideration this $15 increase. And so, yes, if all other salaries are frozen, but you go with the state mandate of those four employees getting the $15 an hour, then that's where the 158-041 number would be what you would need to fully fund the part-timers.
But it's not an option. That's a mandate. That's a law.
By the state of Connecticut.
Right. So, okay. So I just for the board. So I'm sorry. I just want to make sure that I could advise for the newer members. Typically, so you didn't, so this 158 does not include any increase other than the state
for anyone else. That's correct, Mark. That's right.
And then
on the bottom is the what I actually proposed in December, which did include the increases for everyone.
Okay. So for the purposes of the board, and it's because this probably these contracts will not be negotiated by July 1st.
That's probably true.
In the past, how it's been done is to take, say, that $2,200, which represents the
difference there.
Things that would be negotiated in the collective bargaining agreement and put that amount in the special working balance so that when if it's 2.25, if it's 2.5, if it's 2 or whatever the number is, then you can move that at the appropriate time after it's settled.
I see. So Mark, you're saying there would be a different line item that like extra money would go to, sort of answering what Mr. Santo's question was.
I think, yeah, that's why I just was trying to understand what you were putting in and then what issues that we're talking about.
Right.
Yeah, because my main point, thank you for clarifying, Mark, is if he's going to be short, where's this money coming from? Because we've still got to pay the people. And you just answered it. You know, once the money's come in contractually, then it's going to have to come out from somewhere to pay these people.
Right. And just so everybody understands, he took that number. That was the last increase was 2.25, the last year of the increase.
That is correct, Mark. It had there has been, historically that the increase would continue for 2 years. That's just what it had been in past. And so that's why I did that in good faith of that. But Mr. Santos, you're right. I wasn't able to answer your question because I'm kind of new. So I didn't know what Mark was talking about, that there might actually be this like extra line item, or I don't know if that's the right word, but where this money might be able to be in like a pool in case that the contracts do get negotiated at this higher rate.
Because of whatever the strategy of the administration will be, is typically so that it's not, they may have some other strategy that is different than 2.25, because the years before that, it was 2%, the increases.
Exactly, it could be 2%, I agree, right. Yeah.
And there may be, and there in that contract, there was a year that was a freeze. So there's, that's subject to negotiation. And so that's why, just for Scott's also benefit, because obviously he's new to this part of it, I think you'll see too, like in all of the city hall budgets, you don't see an increase in the salary because that's not yet been negotiated. So that money, it was discussed when the mayor presented his budget, but I would assume that there is an allocation in that number of the special working balance that probably represents that.
Thank you for clarifying that, Mark. Exactly. And that's what that 158.041 number represents. That would be at the very least that if everyone's salary was frozen, but we still have to adhere to state mandate of the four people getting minimum wage.
I appreciate your support, Mr. Brill and Mark, for clarifying that, because as a board members, all of us, that's our top priority, that appropriations are appropriated properly from one line number to another.
Exactly. And I know, because last year, I know, Mr. Sanchez, you were on the board, but some of the board members may remember that we asked to move some things to different line items to cover bills, and the Board of Apportionment really understood that. And it's a good thing to know that where the money is being spent and what it's being spent for.
Thank you, Mr. Brill.
Thank you, Mr. Sanders. Thank you, everyone.
And Mr. Chair, just to Mr. Brill, to Scott, where you'll find that line item is at the end of the budget.
I see. Oh, thank you, Mark.
If you're looking for that, just for your reference too. Sorry.
And Mark, just one more time. Can you tell me, do you know the number of it?
I can.
You can tell. You can email me. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll email you.
That's fine. Yeah. But it's at the end of the thing.
I'm
okay.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. It's the department number 8400.
Thank you.
8400-390-391.
Great. Because obviously, you know, everyone, it's important for us to pay our staff. You know, I just don't want to have that shortfall. And it's just unfortunate. And, you know, Mark's been through this before. The contract just happened to expire July 1st of this year. And Mark is probably right. I think both the City Hall contract and the library contract might not be finished negotiations by then. So I guess there is a contingency plan, Mark, if that happens, right?
Indeed. Yes.
Thank you. Okay. See, we all learned something. It was exciting.
happy to help.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you for your support, Mark.
My pleasure.
If there's any other questions, I'm happy. But if not, thank you so much for listening tonight. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Burrell. I'll leave it up to Mark with respect to the town clerk or the registrar of voters.
I will yield to my counterpart in the election process and the great minute taker of the Board of Apportionment Taxation.
Okay, I'll change hats. I'm going from note taker to budget presenter. Okay, do y'all have a copy of my budget?
Yep.
Okay, do you want me to go line by line, or what do you want me to, how do you want me to do it? Do you have any questions that would come out?
Right now I'm trying to locate it on my worksheets.
I've shared it, it's on the screen.
Okay.
It's a budget, it's a department number 1500 if you're looking for it.
Thank you, Mark.
As with the other wages, ours aren't really, well, we have to ask for an increase after 2 years of being in the position, okay? So we don't get a raise every year. We get a raise, and we have to go before the Board of Aldermen for approval. So with that, we are scheduled. We went before the board. They did approve it. And it's going to be in, we're going to coincide with whatever the union gets, and it is not in this budget. So whatever they get, we will get in January of 2024. And it's a one-time thing. We don't get it every year. We get it in January, and then that's it for the length of the term of our office. And that figure of 19,000 is for two of us, not just one. So that's that on the wages. Does anybody have any questions on that?
Nope.
No.
Okay. Down to the next items. The roast, that's the annual canvass of voters that is conducted yearly. And we have a couple of registrars that put together a fantastic program. And so they send me, I mean, we have to pay for it, but they send me a list of people that have not voted in the past 4 years, have moved, that we are not aware of, and all that information they give me, and then I follow through by checking it all, sending out letters to every voter and praying that they send it back. If they do not send it back and it doesn't come back from the post office, I do not hear from these people. They are made inactive voters. So that's why our inactive list is quite high. We also get a report from the state of Connecticut, which is called the ERIC report. They get reports from other states, which they pass on to all the registrars, and we have to track all those people and make the changes to our voter list. The rest of it is just kind of office stuff, office supplies, Ever Ready Press, Rifkin, if I need any election supplies and the tabulator maintenance. That's a contract that we have with LHS, and they've gone up to $250 per tabulator. I have 10 of them, so now that contract every year is $2,500, and I don't have a say, but it pays for everything that they do. If something happens to the machine, they take care of it fully, so I don't have to pay any additional money. So that's a help. And those machines are quite old, and they're looking at replacing them with new machines. And at one of our ROVAC conferences, the people that were presenting them were telling us that the state wasn't going to pick up the tab and that the cities were. And if that were to happen, it would cost me over $15,000 just to replace them, if not more. And now the state is saying that they're looking into replacing the machine. So we're keeping our fingers crossed there. So that's the end of my recall. Expenses. The extra work that was in there was something that was given to us years ago, and we get paid a lump sum for doing all the election work. I've put in $15,000 for a municipal election because it's an anticipated primary. The rumor mill says that we're going to have a primary in the Republican Party. There's nothing definite on that. If it doesn't come to fruition, I'm sure they'll take back that $15,000 and put it into the general working balance. And then the municipal elections, that's the cost of everything. My memory cards, they're $250 each, and heaven forbid I lose one, then we have to pay more. But those are all my election expenses, and that includes the workers and everything connected with the elections. Kind of steady every year, every election. This is the Registrar of Voters Association, which I am active in it, and these are the deputies and registrar's duties, the cost of going to the different spring and fall conferences, the New Haven County meetings, any moderator training. And I have to do continuing education to keep up with being a registrar. And we get our credits when we go to the ROVAC conference, which I will be going to in another 2 weeks. We're having one, and it's in Southbury, and I'll be attending that for 4 days. And that basically is it. And if I have to, Michael still has to be certified. He has 2 years in which to do it. So if he's going to be certified, I may have to come back in and ask for more money if I don't have enough in that $3,000. Because there's like 10 classes, and they go for around $200 each. So that'll eat up a couple of $1,000s just of that $3,000. So I may have to go back in and ask if he decides to get certified this year, which the time is running out for him, so he's going to have to get certified. But that's my budget, folks. I don't know if you have any questions, but I'd be very happy to answer them.
I just have one question for you, Louise, on that 395 absentee ballot funds. There's zero.
Okay, that was put in by Ms. Ballas last year. She put the money in there because she said I didn't have enough money to pay some of the costs on the absentee ballots. But they put the money in there. I did not request that. And that's why there's zero showing now.
If I may, Mr. Chair, was a grant from the state of Connecticut that was to be to the town clerk's office, and there was some
fix up
creative conflict over that because I had said it, and it was they decided to put it in the registrar's office, but the added expense would have really was in the town clerk's office.
Okay, I'm just curious.
Am I correct, Madam Registrar?
Yes.
I'm just curious, just to educate myself, just looking at this absentee ballot funds zero, are there going to be any absentee ballots going out?
Yes.
That was just for a grant, and the ballots themselves are paid out of the line item for the that 392 or 393.
Right. Okay.
That includes all the ballots, the printing, the shipping, and handling.
Okay. Thank you for
absentee and poll ballots.
Thank you. That answers my question. Thank you very much.
Right. You're welcome.
Louise, I have a couple questions.
Sure.
If we're thinking that the other man needs his certification, should we take a couple thousand dollars and put it in the special working balance? When you say he's running out,
I have to double check when he actually started. I'll tell you the truth. I forgot, Jennifer. But okay. I may not have to get the whole thing because he has a period of time in which he can take these classes. And with him working full time, he finds it difficult to take the classes. So I'm going to double check with him. And if need be, I will mention it to you before the budget process is over. Okay.
Okay. And the other one is just, are we sure we're going to have a primary? I mean,
well, it
certainly looks
sure.
like it, but okay. Okay.
And, you know, in all honesty, if it's just the Republican primary and we don't have a Democratic primary, I may be able to cut that money down a bit because the number of Republicans as opposed to Republicans and Democrats is quite different. So I may be able to cut that dollar amount down.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer, for the questions and Louise for your presentation. Any more questions for Louise?
Put my note, my other hat back on now.
Yep, you're ready.
Thank you, Louise.
So yours. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Last but not least, Mr. Town Clerk.
Good evening, honorable members of the board. Thank you for your time and for your volunteer efforts on behalf of the city. It's most appreciated. I'll be brief, and my budget line items are mostly the same. As you can see, I requested the wages don't have any increase in there because the contract has not been negotiated, so that increase will be represented in whatever they included for the special working balance. I had to make a few tweaks from what I had originally submitted for the budget for the new members. I'll go through quickly. The website hosting, we have this line item in our budget. That's the fee that hosts our website, contract website hosting. That's by contract and it's a fixed amount every year. Our education line item is similar to the registrar's office. We have a certification program and continuing education credits that we have to get as those who are already certified. And it also includes our state mandated conferences that include training and refreshing from the Secretary of State's office. We had a shift in staff here, and we also, the registration fees are going up for the first time in 10 years. So I had to ask for an increase in that line item of $500. So that represents the education. Office supplies are all of the supplies that are in our office. We go through a tremendous amount of paper. Just general things that we need to keep our office running, including binders for our vital records, births, deaths, and marriages, It also includes our vital records archival paper that is for both the vital records and also for the permanent records of minutes and so forth for the city. We're able to hold the line on that because we bulk buy and we buy in coordination with the registrar's office, so we're able to save money on that, so we don't need an increase on that. Our electronics records management, it is for the our cashiering system. It's also the system that records all of our land records. It it records, scans, indexes, and then we're able to produce microfilm for as required by the state of Connecticut for the maintenance, permanent maintenance of those records. So we are we have to maintain hard copies and then the digital copies of that. It also is for our dog licensing program as well, so all of the electronic records management that we have. The ordinance and charter codification is an annual fee. We're in the process of updating the codification because that was abandoned with the company in 2006. So we're in the process of going through all those back minutes to get it all into one document that's searchable online and available to everybody in the city. The two lines 488 and 490 are a state library grant for which we apply, and it's based on the previous year's number of land records because we collect money for state conveyance and historic preservation for the city. And it gets remitted to the state, and then we get that some of that back in the form of a grant. This year's grant, this year's coming grant is $6,000 and the with the match from the city of $6,000. And with that money in the last several years, with through your help and support, we're able to scan, index, and digitize our prior land records. So we have 22 volumes left to go. So I'm going to be asking for some transfers of money that's been unused. And then with this money that hopefully we get for next year, we'll be able to complete it. So all of our land records will be accessible to the public in that way. And then we have start a new project probably the next year for our vital records so that there's better access and better indexing for our research purposes. So that increase is the city match increased last year from 500 because the grant, that last line item 490 is a pass through. It's a grant, so there's no impact to the city. That's a grant. So there's a line on income side, and then on the expense side here. So the total increase is $1,000 budget. So as you know, the town clerk's office is the heartbeat of the city. We are the communication conduit for each of the boards by charter. We deal with the public on a daily basis. We troubleshoot, we assist, we adapt, we overcome, we accommodate, and we serve the people of our city with honor and integrity and with the hard work ethic that we have established with my great and faithful team here. Through the pandemic, we never closed a day. We were here, I was here every day, and one of the staff were here to protect each other from the pandemic. We created a statewide model for the death certificates and how they were handled and processed that was adopted by the Connecticut Funeral Directors Association. We have transitioned to the complete statewide electronic death registry, as well as continuing on the state birth registry, and we're in process as part of the statewide network. Eventually there'll be a statewide marriage registry as well. So we work closely with the registrars. We work closely with every department. We staff with passion to make sure that transparency is something that happens and is not just talked about. And we appreciate your efforts and support of this office through the years. So I hope that you will consider our full budget request. And to note also that in the income section of the budget, which is, we don't always talk about as much, but in the income section of the budget, I just refer you for the record and for the purpose of discussion, in addition to that grant line item, the 5,500 and now 6,000 coming up this year, there's also a line item that's called town clerk receivables. That is the line item where all of the income that this office produces for the city of Derby, net of what is remitted back to the state of Connecticut. And so the net to the city, and that is line item 6,680,6807, is you had scheduled income on that line item of $300,000, and in the mayor's proposed budget, proposing to increase that to $350,000 because we have typically exceeded that. We are a revenue generator for the city. The revenue that we generate is in excess of what we spend, and I believe in bulk buying and stretch in respecting the public funds that we expend and trying to stretch the dollar as far as you can. And last year was the first time that we had an increase, and this year's increase is only because of that that state library grant and then the $500 that for the education to tweak that. So I thank you for your consideration, and I stand ready to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Mark, for your presentation. Did you mention there was a line item on the 6,000 area?
On the income side, it's 6,680,6807.
Okay. Thank you.
I mean, and in particular, if anybody has any questions, then I just have one other item I want to. So, and two, there was the position in my office, the only position that was cut out of the budget or out of the proposed mayor's budget in the last conversation. That I just to respectfully ask the board for your support in including that in the preliminary and the final budget. All three of the positions in this office were approved by the Board of Aldermen, and they've been funded by this board consistently through the years. So the work that we perform is there are tangible benefits and demonstrated effort. Even though the position's been vacant for 6 months, even though it was left vacant, two positions were left vacant, and I worked by myself for six plus weeks immediately prior to the pandemic, and there was another six-month period during the pandemic where it was left. We never missed a beat. So I know that based on the size of our town, the fact that we're the smallest in the state that has a hospital, and the other issue is that not every town clerk's office throughout the state has exactly the same responsibilities. Some are clerk to the council or the Board of Aldermen and the finance boards, and some are not. Some handle certain other things and some don't. It depends on how they're set up. But we are in Derby, we cover all of the things that a town clerk's office can handle and then some. So I would happy and passionately speak about this job that I love and the people that I work with, because we work hard every day to serve this people of the city of Derby. And I just respectfully ask for your support on that. And for full disclosure, weeks is a long time in life and in government life. I was informed Friday at 12 noon that by the mayor that there would be somebody filling in that position, fill that position. So on Monday, we do have a new employee in that position. So obviously it's been a busy time and certainly is a time of transition. So the position is now filled. So I definitely hope that you'll continue because the training for a person in this office probably takes at least the better part of a year based on the number of responsibilities that are in this office. So thank you again. Sorry to be long-winded, but there's a lot.
So Mark, this is Mike, just for clarification, you're fully staffed now.
As of yesterday.
Okay, thanks.
Mark, my question would be, you're saying you're fully staffed, but I'm seeing the mayor's proposal with zero for that staff member. So where are they going to get the funding to pay for that clerk wages?
Well, don't forget, that's the mayor's recommendation. It's the board that has the final vote on that. So
okay.
I would include it in the preliminary budget and in the final budget.
Okay. Now, was that position already approved by the Board of Aldermen and Women?
Yes.
Okay.
It was a vacancy. One of our assistants moved up to finance office on September 26th. Again, I was given the same amount of notice. I was told at 12 o'clock on the Friday before they left, so there was no transition period on that. And then it's been vacant for 6 months. I've been trying desperately to have it filled, and I was informed at 12 o'clock on Friday that it would be filled on Monday. But what happened was the person who was in the clerical position, pursuant to the provisions of the collective bargaining and based on her good work record, moved into the assistant position. So that's why, so then this position was open. So one person left, one person switched, so we had one opening.
Thank you.
Mark, did you have any input on an employee for your department there?
No.
Is it somebody that's qualified? I mean, somebody appointed somebody there.
We're working together on that. So
very good.
Person started yesterday, so we're working through that. Can you just hold questions for 1 second? Because I apologize. There's a planning and zoning meeting that started at it's supposed to start at 7, so I'm doing two Zoom meetings at once. So can you just hold 1 second? I apologize.
Yeah, this is Roberto while we wait for Mark to get on back. I just wanted it to try to get a game plan for the evening with respect to reviewing the 22-23 actuals and the proposed for 23-24. And I believe we're going to go with the people who already presented and review the actuals and proposed.
Have we gotten anything, Roberto, from City Hall on what was used? I mean, we've been asking, but, you know.
No, I'm just going with.
Right, what's on there? But they're not sending us anything showing that's what the actuals are. I haven't seen anything since, I don't know, maybe November?
Correct. This is just a proposed, but without any actuals.
Right, but they need to send us that. And they also have to send us the corporate counsel's opinion on the dual office holding.
You haven't received that yet?
I didn't see anything. Did you see anything? Because we don't know if that meeting was legitimate. I mean, we did voting and we wouldn't have had a quorum if it wasn't for Jim Blaskowitz showing up. So we have to address that.
Correct. Okay. No, we'll talk about that once Mark concludes.
I'm here. I'm here. Sorry.
Wanted to see if anybody had any final questions for Mark before we move on.
Just one quick question, Mark. You have for that clerk salary $42,000. Is that commensurate with this person coming in new? Or is there a starting point for someone who comes into that position new?
There is a typically... There's a provision in the collective bargaining agreement that calls for like a 5% reduction for the first year. So that's a good point. I can adjust. I could adjust this. It would be so basically. Yeah, I can resubmit that number to see what it would be. Again, there would be then the increase, but the increase would be in the special working balance anyway. So this would adjust. This would adjust for that.
Okay.
I can adjust that. It would be essentially like 9 months at the lower rate and then 3 months after the year, which would be like this time, March 20th.
Yep. Okay.
And there's enough money in the education there, Mark, for, because doesn't she have to go to school to be certified for something?
Yes, it got a little difficult this time because it was there was a little bit different this time because they went up like, but it was after the budget was set, so it was and some people are they have to switch, so I'll have to look at that as well. It's been a little hectic, so I'll look at that as well.
Yeah. Because we don't want to get stuck short later.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Fair enough. But I want it to be accurate, though, too. I want to make sure that.
Yeah. I'd rather have it an honest budget than something that, you know, they come back with later on and have to start moving money around.
Right.
And I appreciate the questions from Mike, Jennifer, and everybody else regarding, you know, this budget and trying to look at the proposal expenditures and what we have, because it seems like already we're not going to pull money from the working balance on a regular basis because some of these things are not, you know, coinciding with what are they requesting. Okay. Any final questions for town clerk?
No, thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Again, thank you, Mark, for your presentation. and educating us on your department. We'll go to number six on the agenda, which is review the 2022-2023 actual and the 2023-2024 proposed, but we don't have the actuals. All we have is the proposed. We have the 2021-22 actuals on the sheet that I have February 28, 2023, that Mark have sent out, I believe. It's the budget expenditures and revenues. Am I correct, Mark?
I think that when we were questioning some of that, it was off. It was as of December. They said the number was as of December.
Okay. I'm just going by the stamp they have received it in February 28, but the numbers are from December.
Yeah, because I think if we looked at it, I was questioning some of the salaries, why it should be 50%, and it's, I'm not quite sure, but I think they said as of December on one of the papers they gave us. So we haven't really gotten any actuals,
I would just look back through these emails to make sure, because, you know, frankly, I have these hard copies of stuff for you. I'm trying to send it to you all in one packet, so you have all the hard copies at one time, so that it's easier to keep track of. But, you know, so that's how it is, I guess. So I'm getting them piecemeal. So it's kind of, I want to get that to you. But in the previous thing, both the 28th and then the other spreadsheet that we got that you received, that was dated March 6th. It doesn't have the 2022-23, really, you need to see what's adopted. And then the amended would represent anything that you transferred in or out or whatever. And then the request, that's the best way to do it. So I'll try to get that, and hopefully with Mr. Santos's help, to try to get this public information to you, so that you can look at it in a way that I think would be easier for you to understand, because that's what you adopt, you know, what you adopted, then the transfers, and then this is what's being requested.
Right, and if we don't know what they spent, right, we need to see what they spent, and it'd be nice if we could have a 5-year actual comparison.
Okay, all right.
I know they can get that because Henry used to get that all the time. So the software does it.
All right, so 5-year.
5-year actual comparison, yeah.
Yeah, because also I just wanted, you know, for the matter of record, in this boat meeting,
what I wrote down is 5-year comparison of actuals, the current
income and expenses adopted, year to date.
I mean the current adopted, the amended, and then what was expended.
Right.
Okay. I will send that email and report back.
Oh, and there's one more thing. In that email, we need to see the corporate counsel's opinion on that dual office holding. Because we need to know going forward, and we need to know if that meeting that we had that we were voting on was legal or not legal. We have to get that.
Yeah, I would definitely talk with you in drafting these emails so that it comes from the boat, and your support would be very helpful.
Yeah, I mean, however you want to do it. I certainly would not ask for something on your behalf if it wasn't on your behalf.
Thank you.
If we can't operate based on that, okay. I know it's not your issue, so I'm happy to do it whatever way makes everybody feel. Whatever works.
Thank you, Mark.
Yep, yeah, no like I was saying a few seconds ago with regard to receiving the information, you know, in due time so that we can sit on this and work with this at a more convenient earlier time, as the charter says on February 1st. A couple of departments have gotten back to me after I sent out the letter and said that administration had it back in mid to early December, and they were not, you know, provided to us in a collaborative way that we're supposed to work with the deputy finance director. It can be conducive for us to work together so we can finalize these numbers in due time. Now we're going to spend more time of our personal time trying to finalize these numbers. Okay, thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. Well, since we don't have these actuals, number six, we'll just table it for now, then pass it on to the next agenda, Mark.
You're looking for me, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm just mentioning that number six, the review of the 2022-23 actuals and the proposals, expense budget requests and revenues, we're going to wait until we have the actuals so we can table this conversation for the next, you know, keep it on the agenda.
Yeah, okay.
And then I just want to get some feedback from the rest of the board regarding number seven. Does that sound okay that you guys see the agenda, the March 28th, April 4th, 11th, 18th, and the 25th? Hopefully, we won't need any additional days during the week, other days of the week, where we have to send out emails to see who will be available any other day. As when we receive this information, it'll be good for us to provide due diligence in reviewing it before making any preliminary budget adoptions on April 11th. So I'll get with Mark and we'll get this done.
Yeah, and the only other thing, that only one other item that you probably wanna add in is the fire marshal's budget that we, if you don't mind, we'll add that to April 4th.
The what budget? Yeah, the fire department, you said?
No, the fire marshal.
Oh, yeah, fire marshal, yes.
He has some proposals that are before the Board of Aldermen for changes. And probably would make sense for you to hear that, obviously, because it's going to require a budget. There's a budget impact to it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and I just wanted it to add here, you know, an email that I received from Walt. He sent it to the deputy finance regarding, because we're going to be talking about the fire department, storm ambulance, and the senior center on the 4th, along with the fire marshals. Mark, if I can forward this to you. And then I don't want to be in any violation of the Freedom of Information Act. This information should be something that we should let every board member know. I'm going to forward it to every board member so you can see the email. Okay.
Is it something that you could read now, Roberto?
Yep.
Or is it one of his four pages?
No, No, it's a short one. It says Roberto Storms never provided a zero-based budget request as the mayor asked for. They simply asked to use $300,000 as a placeholder. The mayor appointed an EMS advisory panel to review Storm's hybrid business plan, which is clearly not viable as they have lost money repeatedly over the years that I have financial data for. That committee has met under the direction of the fire commissioner. Storms was asked by the administration to provide certain financial data, which includes 990s, updated financial reports, and bank statements. They provided the most 990, which is a year old. We got nothing from them regarding most recent financial reports nor bank statements. I attended a meeting of the advisory committee where difficulties related to hiring and the cost involved were discussed, as well as the processing of claims. It was agreed upon that the administration, once it has all relevant information, would look to see how the costs could be reduced and revenues increased. A number of items have been discussed with the commissioner that could significantly and positively impact the situation. That and the lack of current financial information is the basis for not changing the appropriation in the major's budget. Best regards, Walt Mayhew, Chief of Staff.
Now that's everything I said last year, and he gave them a 50% increase.
This is what I received today.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I'm saying those are all the things I brought up last year, and Walt gave him a 50% increase. Oh, Mark, can we add something to that email? How come we don't have any financial staff here? Where's our deputy finance director? I mean, isn't somebody present here that if we have questions that we can ask? Could you add that to the email, please?
Sure. I'm happy to answer the ones that I can answer.
Okay. Fire away.
Mark,
I don't know if you have a question. Are you going to forward me that email that you just read?
Right now.
Were there, I mean, are there other questions? I don't know who's.
No, we're just discussing the next steps for the budget presentations. And since Storm Ambulance is due for the 4th, I'd rather have all the information needed for the presentation that can help us make decisions as a board member.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll try to get whatever information that you're seeking.
Okay, I think I'm good.
All right, if I could make a motion for adjournment.
I'm sorry. Just in terms of the schedule, just for everybody's planning their schedule and stuff, the critical meeting is the whenever the adopt your preliminary adoption, because we need some time to then publish that so people have a little time to then absorb it, and then have the public hearing. And then essentially after the public hearing, then you can meet as many times as you need to meet to finalize the budget. So yeah, if you just stay on the Tuesdays, that works like to the 18th, then you could decide after the public hearing, the 18th, you could meet, like that following week, you could, you know, whatever, you could start on Monday, Tuesday, when it just has to be done by the 30th. I mean, as you get closer, you'll have a sense of, you know, if there's consensus or where you're at. But that's just kind of, you know, based on obviously the hand that was dealt here in terms of the timing of this thing. If you need to speak to all these to these departments, then that's kind of, it is what it is. So.
Okay. Correct. Thank you. Anybody can make a motion to adjourn.
I motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Jennifer. Anybody second?
I'll second, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, so it passes. Thank you very much for everybody on the call today. Much obliged. Appreciate your service. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good night.
For the record, it's 7:36 p.m. And also, I'll be sending the hard copies out by Friday at the latest. So I'm trying to get all the hard copies so you'll have them in order and in one packet. So
thank you very much, Mark.
For that. All right. See you. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night.